Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th of April, recording at 7:33 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, some of the trades. I forgot to mention in yesterday's audio that I was stopped out on the soybeans yesterday. A little annoying as that was a charity trade, but I'll top that up otherwise. It was stopped out at a profit, but I let 60% of that profit slip away. I'd been playing, which is not very good, I'd been playing it on the basis of the size of downward reactions. In other words, using a trailing stop that was slightly larger than the previous downward reactions that we had seen within the rising trend. And the pattern had suffered a little bit of technical damage. There have been a few downward dynamics. So, as you know, if you've been listening regularly, I thought that stop probably would get hit. So we got a larger correction, thus giving up that profit that triggered the stop. Then the price actually pulled back to a chart support level, a previous trading range, and has bounced back big time, as they say, in here today. So up 40 cents as I speak, back up to 10, 11, and a half. Now the other one that was stopped out, and this was worse in terms of protecting profits, was the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. And here I'm afraid I would have given up about, 80-85% of the profit, because this had a very big hit on the downside today at down 362 points. And I really wasn't very clever with that, because yesterday when the dollar was rallying against the euro, well, the dollar was rallying against everything, really, I should have put two and two together and realized that Hong Kong was one of the markets that would be more vulnerable to a stronger dollar, not least because of concern over interest rates and the fair amount of speculation that's been taking place in the Hong Kong property market. So those two trades are out. Now, overall, if I give myself a report on this. Now, you notice I didn't lose any money on these trades, but I don't give myself very high marks for that trading activity, because although I got in at very good levels on both those trades, and that's the most important part, once I'm able to protect a position with an in-the-money stop, effectively giving me a free ride, in other words, it comes back and stops me out while I'm out, at a small gain, and I can then raise that stop if the trend continues to lock in increasingly larger gains. But there is a risk of being a bit casual about it, at least if it's not a large position, and neither of those were large positions. And I'm also maybe just a little bit complacent, because I do hold the view that, well, if that one gets away, and more of these things get away from you than not, if you're using disciplined money control tactics. But I take the view that if that one gets away, that I can always find very, very quickly another trade as a money-making opportunity, whether it's the same one or something completely different. Now, what I also did today, and I hope this doesn't worry people, I did take out my quite large, I closed my quite large position for me in the palladium futures. Now that had gained 40% since a rollover repurchase in late February, and I wasn't planning to sell it. You might remember from the audios I'd mentioned that when I was in the office on Monday, I looked at what was going on in Wall Street, and I thought, these metals are fairly soft and the dollar is firm. Maybe I should take this out. And then I didn't, because the platinum was so strong, pushed up to a new high. And they are, of course, sister metals. And then yesterday, I decided, well, to put in a stop, although it was really quite loose, and then to put some targets overhead on the palladium. Well, in here today, again, the dollar was quite strong earlier on today, this morning, about 11 o'clock my time, and I looked at this, and so many of these metals were falling quite sharply. Silver was really being hammered. And so I thought, well, this could well be one of those situations where we get the knee-jerk reaction in palladium, where people start grabbing profits. And there's an old adage in the markets, if you're going to panic, panic early. So the offer on that at the time was 325.5, and so I let them sell there, and interestingly, it didn't budge the market, so there was obviously a big buyer in there at 325.5, and then it moved a little bit higher. But then did come rattling off rather sharply, but then recovered about an hour later, and then recovered well off the low. And there's no leaking of any information on that. You'll hear about these things on the audio and the website as soon as I can get around to doing that. And got down, so the palladium at any rate got down to as low as 297.50, and then closed down $9.5 at 317.30. So not a bad performance at all, actually, and it's got a large tail on the chart. So I would be surprised if it didn't rally tomorrow and get back up at least where I sold the position out. I was also influenced to take it out because it's a good opportune moment for me to mention that I won't be here on Friday or on Monday. I'll be taking Mrs. Fuller to Paris for a long overdue long weekend break, and I didn't want to be thinking about the position while I was away. Okay, now on to the two charts, critically important charts that I have been mentioning. This is really a follow-up from yesterday's theme about this U.S. dollar index and the Treasury bond chart. And I've emphasized on many audios that these really, really are so important. Now, first, the U.S. dollar index. Why is that so important? Well, because speculators all over the world have been short the U.S. dollar. And those speculators are getting squeezed. And we have had a number of those extreme views. Remember all those people who were saying on dollar yen, for instance, that the moment 105 was taken out, that the dollar would immediately slump to, well, 100, they were saying, and then down to 95, and some were saying 85, and I've even seen one person saying 70. And this is after it's already come down a very long way, as you know. Well, those tend to be contrary indicators, and here we are at 108.82 here today with quite a good upward dynamic on the chart. But more importantly, so many people had borrowed U.S. dollars to finance property speculations, and then a fair number of people had also borrowed U.S. dollars for the bond carry trade, and they talked themselves into this script where there was no way that the Fed was going to raise interest rates this year, and they might not even raise them next year. Some people have actually been saying, I've always taken the view that we would get a rate hike around mid-year, although you have to be a fly on the wall at the Fed to know exactly what they're going to do, and I would wager that even if one was, that it would be a waste of time, because I don't think the Fed has actually made up its mind on when rates are going to go up. But you can see the risk in here. Banks, for instance, had been very, very big players of not only the carry trade, but also playing the yield curve. In other words, they would borrow money from the U.S. Federal Reserve at 1%, or just a fraction above 1%, and then put that into various different long bond denominations up to the 30-year bonds. And it's money for old rope, because you're getting the higher yield, and you know, 3.5 to 4.5, 5%, depending on what they're actually going for, and not only were the U.S. banks doing this and a number of speculators, but many, many institutions and big punters and hedge funds around the globe were all playing the same game, borrowing U.S. dollars, figuring that they were going to make money on the declining U.S. dollar, and then leveraging that trade up in the U.S. bond market, feeling that there was no way that the Fed would raise interest rates, and feeling that, and buying the into the deflationary theme, which a lot of people have been talking about. Now, you know my view, I'm short those bonds, feeling that the secular trend has ended. But what we've seen, if you look at that chart, and it's just a 12-month snapshot showing you the top formation for that U.S. Treasury bond market, this really has come rattling down in the last few weeks, much more quickly than it ranged up from that September low. And yesterday we saw the first evidence that that was beginning to spook stock market investors, and because they are now showing signs that they're unable to ignore the inflationary implications of what is a stronger U.S. economy. CPI figures, for instance, were up in here today. The better employment figures that they saw. And so the prospect of higher interest rates is beginning to affect the stock market scene, leading to this very choppy activity that we see overall. Okay. Now, where does this actually leave us? This is a difficult environment. And you know, I mentioned last week that the stock markets had that good rally that commenced with the upward dynamic signal by the NASDAQ index on the 25th of March. But they got overbought last week, and we were they were susceptible to some reactions and profit taking. But the nosedive, additional nosedive taken by the bonds, and the strength of the dollar, these two combined factors here, are unnerving traders and investors and leading to very, very choppy action, increasing risks, making it, removing most of the good trend running plays that were previously in the market. So if you deal in this type of environment, you certainly don't want to be paying up for anything. Unless you're fortunate enough to find one of that diminishing group of really powerful trends, and you don't want to be taking on large positions in this environment. You know, I've said for months that the trading conditions would become more difficult, and I've actually been surprised at how good they've still remained, provided you caught things that were still in form, like the palladium until the last few days, and Japan recently, of course. But that may well be tested by the general nervousness that we're seeing in other markets. Okay, now what's going on in here today? Well, I mentioned that some of those declines that had taken place, the big one in Asia being the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. A few markets were closed. Thailand and India were closed here today, but they're likely to come off a little bit at least tomorrow. Japan's performance was extraordinary. I mean, the Nikkei was down only 29 points, and that amazing Tokyo Second Section Index gained again another new high for the last many years. It's through the 2000 high, and it has actually risen for 33 of the last 35 days. So Japan is described by Clive Hale in a report I posted on the website today as the re-emerging market. And you know, I've said that on a number of occasions recently that Japan won hands down among the developed markets, given all the psychologically, and I think also fundamentally in some respects, given all the nervousness over the U.S. economy and the debt and deficit situations, given the abysmal growth that we're getting from continental Europe. UK, well, that's a better performance, but you know, that's really mainly due to the high rate of government borrowing and spending, and most of the growth has been coming in government areas, or most of the employment becoming also in government areas like the National Health Service. And therefore, if you wanted a developed market that was significant in size, that really did look interesting, well, there's Japan, which had its long 13.4-year secular bear market ending on the 28th of April last year. And following its consolidation, that from September into earlier this year has resumed its upward trend. And this, no doubt this will remain a relative strength leader until it gets too far ahead of the other markets. And either because Japan moves up and leads the way up in further ranging activity, or the others fall away, leaving Japan looking a little bit exposed, as say palladium was today among the metals. Okay, I have my speculation still in Japan and the Nikkei futures, and I've got Japanese investments running through my pension funds, Thai investments, Indian investments, so I'm way overweight in Asia. Now, and that will remain the case until I see further evidence that we're not just going to get sideways ranging or possibly even with a slight upward bias, but the patterns are deteriorating further. As I said yesterday, and the sand continues to run from the top of that hourglass down to the lower section. In other words, the medium-term rally is running out of time overall. Now, European markets were hit fairly hard in here today, and we had gains of, well, they didn't fall as much as Wall Street last night, but Dow Jones Stocks Index down 1.38%. CAC DAX are both over 1%, as was the IBEX index. So fairly sizable declines in here today. Not enough to constitute real downward dynamics. Wall Street's near the lows of the day as I speak. It's been underwater most of the time, briefly moved up above it a couple of times, but the Dow's down 46 as I speak, 5.6 on the S&P, 12 points on the NASDAQ. Bonds, importantly, they are currently, I'm looking at the June 30-year bond, that's currently down 17 ticks, or just over half a point at 108, but it was down at as low as 107.01. But this is a continuation of the decline, but it's not a rout, so that has not perhaps weighed as heavily on the stock market as it might have. European bonds also following this lead. Japanese JGBs, those are the other ones where I've also got a short position. These are just ranging lower. It's sort of a step sequence decline, and I'm protecting that again with a relatively tight trailing stop. I think the question is, do these bonds drop down towards their September lows? I'm talking about the bond prices now, and then get a bit of a bounce and a bit more top extension activity, or do they go straight down through and complete the top? If they do that, that would be quite bearish for stock markets. That would almost certainly pull stock markets sharply downwards. And I don't know the answer to that. It could easily be either case. But overall, the big picture, the important thing, is that government bonds, which a lot of people have been recommending recently, I think Owen put up a report in the forum today, put eloquent, interesting report overall, but one that was quite bullish of bonds, and so he stuck in a couple of charts so you could see for yourself on that, and there's nothing bullish about those bond chart patterns. So it's just a question of whether they get more top formation extension before they deteriorate. In other words, long-dated yields move up or not. But my most profitable trades over the last fortnight, I suppose, Well, there was that good run in the Palladium, the good run in the Nikkei, but probably the declines in the JGBs and the U.S. Treasuries, certainly over the last 3 weeks or so. Okay. In the currency markets, now in dogs of the portfolio department, I put up that chart of euro yen, and it's even stronger. It's back up over 130, so it's a tremendous dynamic. I mean, here today, that yen, again, everybody was saying that the yen was going to be the strong currency, another consensus. But you can see the dynamics on that chart. I'm still holding that position, and it's looking a lot more respectable than it was a short while ago, because I didn't time that well. I should have waited for the upward dynamic before putting the position trade on, and I would have gotten at a much more advantageous level. About 4 yen better off. Okay, in the commodities, oil off a little bit. I hope I haven't let that window to get my July crude oil futures position. Remember, I said I was concerned about that because I felt I hadn't really thought through the implications in terms of, well, maybe not the dollar. I was less worried about the dollar because oil hadn't moved so much, but I was quite worried about some potential jawboning from the Bush administration and efforts on their part to keep the gasoline price from going through the roof this summer and becoming a big electoral issue. Thus, my preference for natural gas, which I also hold, but that's been off in the last couple of days. So it's a very choppy environment overall, and I'm grateful for the fact that I haven't picked up any big losses in here, even if I've left some profits get away on this. The art of the game is to not lose much money in establishing these positions, and I don't want to take any big risks anytime, but this is not an environment that's conducive to running those long, smooth trends because market conditions remain nervous, causing a lot of choppy activity. Therefore, if you buy something, you only want to buy it after a reaction. And if it moves, or if you short something, you only want to short it after it's seen a technical rally, and that's starting to tire. And recently, certainly, one's been better off by grabbing the gain when you have seen a reasonable gain, leading to a short-term overbought position on longs or a short-term oversold position on short-term trades. Now, so much will depend on what actually happens to euro-dollar in here, or the dollar index, I should say, really generally, but I'm looking at euro-dollar at the moment, and it's been moving. It's near the higher side of the day's range, very close to the higher side. It's at 119.62. It has been a cent lower, down at 118.69. Now, if that goes down, I think that we would certainly see, and you have to say that given the chart evidence, although it's a slow ranging decline, which makes me feel that we will see the euro at some point, if not this year, next year, retest its high, at least against the dollar, because it's coming down so much more slowly than it had run up to that high, and it wasn't a big acceleration in moving up to that high. But this is so critical in terms of these other markets, as I've said many times before. Now, if this ranging decline for the euro against the dollar continues, and that looks the most likely case, not in consecutive days, obviously, but sideways and a little bit down, that might easily put more downside pressure on some of these commodities that have done very well, subject to individual fundamentals. Among those, as I said, the fundamentals, I think, for palladium are now extremely good. Obviously, somebody thinks the fundamentals for soybeans are very good in here today. And a number of those metals, I was surprised at how many of the industrial metals actually closed on the upside in here today. I mean, the gains weren't big. Well, fairly chunky in tin, which has been certainly the strongest over the last couple of months, but gains pretty well across the board on the industrial metals. But I'm very much in the camp, of course, that would be delighted to see an additional correction, as we could easily get, and the main catalyst for that would probably be an additional dollar rally. I haven't put any orders in the market except for silver, and this is in July silver, where I've got bids under the market. Now, that got down as low as 685 today, and then bounced back at 702. It was still down 44 cents in here, and my baby step buy orders for July silver start in the mid $6 range. So I'm obviously not I'm crowding the trade, and I've got a lot of cash right now, and that feels comfortable. All the best. Now remember to get, just last before I sign off, just remember tomorrow will be my last day. I'm in the office. I'll be away Friday, and I'll be away Monday. Have a good evening.